You know, over the years, I think I've had many conversations with people around the question, what is God's will for my life? And how do we know what God's will is for our lives? I think I've had that question. Many people have said to me, I just want to know what's God's will for my life? How do I know it? What do I know? How does God tell me what my will is for my life? And I think it's a good question to ask. But I think also I feel sometimes people get very wound up about that question and actually can get quite bogged down in it, this sense of trying to work out God's will for their lives. Now, I will say that I do believe that God has some specific will and plans for all of us at times. So I think God does have individual purpose. God does have individual opportunities for us individually. And I think those things is based mainly around our uniqueness. We're all unique. We have abilities. Don't worry, the phone's going. I know. It's like, oh my. Like a dog with a bone, isn't it? You see, a dog with a ball. You can see it on that when I'm doing this. The dog's toddling along and he sees the ball and he goes, I can see you all. Phone's going, concentrate, focus. All right, don't worry about it. Okay. But I think God will speak as an individual plans and wills for us, partly because we have a uniqueness, partly we have a different character, different abilities, different personalities. The Bible tells us that we've all got God-given gifts, and we've also all got different roles, and we're also in different locations, who we are and what we often call our front lines. So we have this thing called a uniqueness. We know that we're unique. We're all different. God made us that way. And I think God can use that. He will use that. He will use our different gifts. He'll use our different abilities to use. And he'll use that in society. So we've got different roles to play in society within the church. Our uniqueness is important to God. So God's will be shown within our uniqueness and the gifts that God has placed in us. And like I say, also the roles, we all have different roles. What I mean by that is what each of us are. So some of us are siblings, some of us are parents, some of us are grandparents, some of us are friends, some of us are colleagues. And in some ways, I think that's part of God's unique plan because for each one of us, because we all will find ourselves among different people and we have these different roles that each of us have because of who we are. So there's a uniqueness around God's will for our specific lives. And also our locations, our workplaces, our leisure, our homes. We talk about church planting. What I mean by that is sometimes say wherever we plant our feet, we are the church. We are God's representatives wherever we are. So when we're talking about this whole question about what is God's will for my life, I do believe that there's this, God has specific things for us because we all have different roles, different uniqueness, we're all in different locations, and God wants to use that and he wants to use the opportunities of that just for us. I also believe that God does still call people to specific things and ministries. So he might call people to be a pastor, or he might call people to another type of job, or he might even call someone to move house at some times and things like that. I think God sometimes does specifically hone in on us and calls us specifically for specific things to do or be. Yet there is a sense of calling that sometimes God could put on us. And when we're thinking about what is this specific will and plan that God might have for me and he might have for you and he might have for you, I think the key to it is proximity. We've heard that word quite a few times lately. What I mean by that, if you want to know God's will and plan for your life, the idea is to stay close to him. Stay close to your heavenly Father. And as you stay close to him, I think God has the opportunity when you're in these different places and in these different roles to use you specifically in the purposes and plan and will for his for your life that he will help you with. I think an important verse for me is Psalm 37, verse 5, that just simply says this, commit your ways to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. I often say to people, if you ask that question, what is God's will for my life? What does he want me to do? How does he want to use me in my job and in my role, in my uniqueness, in my character? Stay close to him. Every day, daily, put yourself before him. Trust him. And as you put yourself close to him, I don't think you'll go too far wrong, if you see what I mean. He'll be able to guide you and direct you and use you as at different points. So there is this sense that God has specific things for individuals to do and be in the different places and roles around your uniqueness and gifting and stuff like that. That's true, all right? But I'm actually not talking about that today in some ways. I'm not talking about your individual God's specific will and plan for you. What I want to talk more about today is God's general will for all believers, for all followers of Jesus, for all Christians. What should be part of all Christians' daily aim and walk? So if today you say to yourself, I'm a Christian, I follow Jesus, I believe in God, what I'm going to be talking about is, this is God's will for you. All right? Okay? So whatever you say, this is God's general will for all of us that would say that we are Christians and we follow Jesus and we believe in God. Okay, this is not a specific thing just that he wants you to do and not that person to do. This is things that God wants us all to do if we're followers of him. Okay, does that make sense? And I've been inspired recently by when Godfrey leads a service, because he always comes up with posh PowerPoints, doesn't he? And puts me to shame. So I have got, it's not as posh as Godfrey's, but I've got a PowerPoint, okay? I've got a PowerPoint. Double click. Come on. Double click. Oh, we not double clicked? Oh, there we go, there we go, there we go. Okay. So what we're looking at is God's will for all Christians. If you're a Christian today, I see from Scripture, this is not me just talking to you, I'm going to use the Bible. This is what I see that a Christian, this is God's will for all of us. So if you think, what's God's will? All this stuff is for you, all right, today if you're a Christian. You see the first one there. Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40 says this. When asked what is the greatest commandment, Jesus replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and the prophets hang on these two commandments. I believe that these words are for all Christians. All right? If you're a Christian here today, part of God's will for your life, okay? First thing, love God first. Love God with everything we are, everything we do, everything we be, and everything we say. Now, we know that there are many other things in this world that are kind of competing for this in a Christian's life. Many other things are trying to distract us to love them more, to worship them more, to take that, instead of seeking God first, to seek other things first. But the Bible said this should be our main aim and our main purpose if you follow me. So I think we asked after the question, how are you and I doing with this in our lives? Are we doing this in our lives? Are we seeking God first and foremost in our lives? The second thing it says is love your neighbour. Now we need to acknowledge that our neighbour is not just those who we like. It's not just those who we get along with. Do you remember the story of the Good Samaritan? He says, who was the Samaritan helping? Not his mate, not the one he likes. But actually, the Samaritan was the enemy, wasn't he? But that's who the person was helping. And Jesus says, who was the neighbor in the story? Do you remember Jesus' teaching about loving our enemies? Not easy, is it? Not easy teaching. So again, if this is what God's will is for all our lives, we've got to ask the question, are we getting along with it? How are we doing with it? Do you want to know what God's will is for your life? Well, it's to love God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And it's to love your neighbour as yourself. And that's not just the people you like. This is people who it's maybe hard to love. People who we struggle to love. Sometimes that people society might not love. But Jesus says, that's what you're called to do if you choose to follow me. Okay, let's move it on. I'm going to say lots of things today, all right, about God's will for us. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says this. For we are God's handiwork. That's good, isn't it? Okay. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The Bible tells us that as followers of Jesus, as Christians, we are made to do good works, not bad works. What might these good works be? Well, I have a few suggestions. I think generosity, kindness, service, honesty, or you can have there's an extended list there. But I believe part of the will of God for all Christians is to do 24/7 life while looking for opportunities to do good works. So if you follow Jesus, if you say, I'm a Christian, what God will for my life? It's to do good works. Daily, look for opportunities as we go around our lives. How can I do good works in the name of Jesus for his glory? Do you get up and think that? Or do you get up and think, oh, coffee. Get food today. God says, no, as you go through your daily life, look for those opportunities. That's my will for you. My plan for you as my followers and my people. Let's go on. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 to 17 says, it talks about the fact that all Christians are encouraged to engage with Scripture. What's Scripture? Scripture's God's Word, the Bible. It says this, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is our guidebook. It's our instruction book. It helps us to know God better, and it helps us to know more what it means to be his people. It's our spiritual food. So you think, what's God's will for me? What's God's plan for my life? Well, it's to engage with his word, the Bible. So that means we need to create space in our lives to engage in the Bible. We need to own a Bible. You can get one on your phone. I was sat with someone the other day. We're talking about the Bible app, YouVersion, and realizing how much more is on there than they realized. And thinking, wow, I didn't know that was on there. And we started to look at how they could engage in the Bible through different plans and different opportunities, how they could engage in God's Word. And they were like, wow, I didn't realize it was all that on there. But there are Bible notes. We have some at the back there. There's lots of ways, but you think to yourself, what's God's will for my life? It's to engage in his word, to read it, to try and grapple with it, to try and let it speak to you into your life. Let's go on. What's God's will for my life? Micah 6 verse 8 says this, he has shown you, a mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, of me? Of us. It says this, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. That's what the Bible says. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're meant to act justly, you're meant to love mercy, you're meant to walk humbly. Well, what's these words, justly? What does that mean? Well, it simply means to act, judge, or behave in a manner that is morally correct, fair and impartial. That's what justly means. What does mercy mean? Well, mercy is compassion, forgiveness, or kind treatment shown to someone who it is within your power to punish or harm. So if that's part of being a Christian, if that's part of my daily walk, we need to ask the question, where might we see opportunities to put these into action in our daily lives? Where can I see the opportunity to act justly? Where do I see the opportunity to love mercy? Where do I see the opportunity to just walk humbly with our God? Because that's God's will for me. Really clear in his Bible. We don't need a burning bush here. So we've got God going, this is my will. Here it is. He's put it all down for us so we can get it. This is what it means to follow me. Let's do the next one. God's will, I believe, for us is to gather in fellowship. Hebrews 10, verse 24, 25, we're encouraged to gather in fellowship. It says this, and let us consider how we spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more till we see the day approaching. This is God's will for you, if you're a Christian. You're encouraged to gather in worship. You know, I think most Christians would say that fellowship is an important part of being a Christian. But I had a conversation with the other day with someone regarding kind of where, how fellowship, where its priority is. And we were talking about something which I've entitled now, kind of the priority drop. What I mean is that I think there are times when we think fellowship's so important. Yes, I understand that being a, if I'm a Christian, God's will for me is to be in fellowship. And I'm not even just talking about giving an hour up for church on a Sunday. I think it's wider than that. I really do. I think it's being in small groups. I think it's getting together in opportunities where you can be with other Christians and be together. And I think the Bible says that's an important part. Don't give up doing that. That's who my will is for you as a Christian. But I think sometimes what happens is we think, all right, that's me, I put it in, get it in, that's what I'm going to do. But then something comes along, and instead of saying, no, I can't do that because actually my fellowship is my priority, what we do is that thing goes above fellowship, and fellowship drops, the priority drop. And then we end up being less in fellowship because other things become more important than our fellowship with God. And I'm not talking about being ill or going on holiday or even having to work, but I think sometimes we let things and just take over, and we say, and instead of saying, actually, no, 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 I can't do that because fellowship is my priority because I'm a Christian, that's God's will for me, we say, oh no, let that thing become the priority now because fellowship drops down the list. And I think we have to be careful about that. I hear some very strange people, reasons why people are not in fellowship sometimes, and I think, okay. But God says, this is my will for you if you follow me. To gather in fellowship, not give up meeting together. Not make it a priority, because God knows the value of it, the importance of it, and how necessary it is for us if we're going to follow him. Let's go on. Forgive. Colossians 3, verse 13 and 14 say this. We're told to forgive and show mercy again. Therefore, it says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, listen to this, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. That's what we're meant to clothe ourselves with as God's people. Not anger, bitterness, not judging, not aggression. We're told to clothe ourselves in gentleness and patience and humility and kindness and compassion. That's what we're called to do as God's Christian. But then it says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is God's will for us. So I ask you the question, is there anybody here that's holding on to unforgiveness? Anybody here bitter towards somebody else? Anybody here got anger or jealousy or holding grudges? Well, let me tell you today, God's will is that you deal with those. That's his will and plan for you. That you don't carry unforgiveness, that you don't carry bitterness, that you don't carry that anger, you don't hold those grudges. His will is that we forgive. Forgive, move past, let go of. And I know that that can be a really difficult challenge for us as God's people, but the good news is God's promise is that he will help us to do it, because it's really hard sometimes. Someone hurts us and we feel that anger and bitterness towards us, we just want to keep it and fuel it and maybe look at getting revenge because of it. But the Bible says, no, no, that's not what you're meant to do. That's not my will for you. My will is that you deal with it, that we somehow work it through, that we get it out of our system, that you let it go through the power of the God who is so good at forgiveness. You know, there's someone in our church who's, like I said, I want a Christian in church. Someone working it out. And there was somebody in our church and they're working out faith. And you can see it because This person sent me a Bible verse this week. And it was Luke 6, verse 28. And it said this: bless those who curse you, pray for those who hurt you. And the comment, when he sent me the picture of it on WhatsApp, was this: wow. And I love that, because I thought to myself, he's realizing, wow, this is what it means to follow Jesus. He's like, what's this, David? This is what it means to follow Jesus. Wow, what's all that about? What, I have to bless those who curse me? I have to pray for those who hurt me? Yep. And I said to him, it's not always easy being a Christian, mate. I can honestly say, but this is it. This is it. This is God's will and plan for us. This is his teaching. And we can't pick and choose. We go with it. It's all in or not, I think. Let's keep going. Matthew 25. The parable of the sheep and the goats. And if you look at that parable, we see that God's will for all Christians is to help the poor and the needy. Some of you know the story about this, when he says in the end, Jesus will separate the sheep, separate the goats, and then he'll kind of have this conversation, and they'll say, you know, when I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was naked, did you clothe me? When I was in prison, did you visit me? And some will say, oh yeah, we did that. And some will say, oh, I didn't. Some will say, oh, I didn't see you like that. But verse 40 says this: the king will reply, truly I tell you, whenever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. Helping the poor and needy is God's will for you if you're a Christian. Did you know that? It's part of God's will. It's part of our. So again, we can lead to think to ourselves, how is that part of our daily lives? We need to ask the question, where am I doing this? Where am I helping the poor and the needy if I'm a Christian? How am I doing this? You know, even, it's a small thing, but it's even bringing eggs for food of the week. You are helping the poor and the needy. Thank you for that. That is part of God's will for your life. Maybe giving to charity. Maybe serving somewhere like the Lighthouse or at the food bank or somewhere else. That is just following what God's will is for your life. Because God wants us to help the poor and the needy. It is impossible to ignore Jesus' teaching and not think I need to help the poor and the needy. So if you're Christian, you need to ask the question, where am I helping the poor and needy? Because that's God's will for me. It's his plan for me. Okay, let's move on. Galatians 5. Do you like my PowerPoint, by the way? Not as good as Godfrey's, is it? Really? But we're going with it. A few more. Galatians 5. Says this: the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, faction and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. What's God's will for you? God's will for you, if you say you're a Christian, is to daily battle the flesh. It's to daily battle sin. It's to resist temptation. It's to resist the devil. And as we've said many, many times before, we know that we've all got areas of weakness where the enemy will try and get to us around this. But God's will for us as Christians daily is that we battle those things, that we don't just give in to sin, that we don't just give in to temptation, that we battle them. Yeah, we might fail sometimes, and we need to go back, and we need to ask for forgiveness, and God gives us that strength to start again. But the idea is that we battle them, we don't just accept them. Hebrews 12, verse 14, we are called to pursue holiness. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone, and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see God. God's will is that you pursue holiness in your life. Are you a Christian? Are you pursuing holiness? Because that's what God wants you to do. That's what our Heavenly Father's plan is for you. Pursue holiness. Matthew 20, next one. I like this one. Matthew 6, 26, 27 says this: look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? God's will is that we have such a confidence and security in him that we don't worry. How are you getting on with that? God's will is that we have such a sense of who he is and our security in him that we don't worry. Now, I have to say, probably for most people, we're still working on this one. And I admit I am too. But God's will is that we get into a place where we don't worry because we have that security and foundation in him that recognizes that he is big and awesome, that he's got it, whatever. Not easy, I get it. I'm still working on that. But it is his will and plan for us. Okay, Matthew 28. One more. God's will is the Great Commission. Therefore, he says in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You know, Louis Palau, the great evangelist, as a teenager, asked his mum, am I called to tell other people about Jesus? He was a Christian. And he was saying to his mum, Mum, I'm not so sure if I'm called to tell other people about Jesus. So what did his mum do? Well, I think what he wanted was like this burning bush again. And God saying, Louis Palau, tell people about me. And he's like, oh, I am called. But he didn't need that, you see. What his mum did is she pulled out the Bible. And she showed him Matthew 28. And she told him that all who follow Jesus have already been called to share the good news of Jesus. All of us, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are called, as I am, to share the good news of Jesus with others that don't know it. So again, how are we doing? How are we doing in regard to following the Great Commission that all disciples, followers of Jesus, has been given? When was the last time we shared our faith with someone? Because that's God's will for your life. God's plan for your life is that you share, if you've got something of Jesus in you, share it with somebody else because we want them to have it as well. We want them to know his love and his forgiveness and his eternal hope, don't we? That's his will for us. That's his plan for us. And it all started, this message, from this next verse. I'm not really going to come into land, I suppose, as we say. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God's will for you is that you rejoice. God's will for you is that you pray and you be in communion with him. God's will for you is that you give thanks in all circumstances. What? Even when it's not going well? Yep. God's will. And there's so many more we could look at. I've run out of time. But just for the last one, I just put a few up there. God's will is that we seek him first. God's will is that we fear him. God's will is that we worship him. God's will is that we honor and obey him. And there are so, so many more that we could look at. So to finish, I was thinking about myself. You can leave it up if that's all right, Adele. I was thinking about my calling. What's my calling? What's your will for my life? What's your plan for my life? Well, I'm a husband and I'm a dad at the moment, so I know part of it is wrapped up in that because that's what I am at the moment. I know that I'm called to be daily available to build the kingdom of God. My current vessel for me, in which I mainly do this, is being pastor of Chadderton Community Church. That's the current vessel that mainly I'm trying to work through the fact that God has called me to build his kingdom in this world. For others, that calling will come through being a teacher, or through being a cleaner, or through working for the NHS, or through being retired. That's how you'll work your calling out. It'll come through those roles that you are in, those situations that you're in. But in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, it simply says this: so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it for His glory. That's His will for you. That's His plan for you. And we do it all with His help. We do it all through the Holy Spirit empowering us, because it's not easy all the time. And that's why we talked a few weeks about before coming to the well of the Holy Spirit and asking for God daily to fill us again with His power, that we might succeed more in trying to follow His plan and His will for our lives. So we started by asking the question, God, what is your will for my life? You know, first and foremost, I believe it's to know God. That's the first. Above everything else, God's will is that you know Him. That you are in a relationship with Him. But then as a follower of God, or as a follower of Jesus, as a Christian, this checklist is not a bad place to start. If you're asking that question, God, what's your will for my life? What's your plan for my life? It's all there. You don't need a burning bush. You don't need anything. It's written down for you. This is what you're called to be, to love God with all your soul and strength and love your neighbor as yourself. You're called to do good works, engage with the Bible, Scripture, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. Each of us are called to gather in fellowship, regular, unlike some of the giving up. The Bible says we're encouraged to forgive one another and forgive even those that hurt us. We're called to help the poor and the needy, to battle the flesh and sin and resist temptation and the devil. We're called to try not to worry because our security is in Him. We're called to share the good news of Jesus with those who don't know it. We're called to rejoice. We're called to pray. We're called to give thanks, to seek Him, to fear Him, to worship Him, to honor Him, and many other things. But the question is how we're doing. Because this is what God's will is for you, if you're a Christian. Because He's got so much for you. And can I also finish by saying, if you're struggling with your faith, or if you're not, you don't think your faith is where you want it to be, can I also consider you to look at this checklist and ask, am I trying to pursue these things, which is clearly God's will for my life? You're struggling with your faith and think, what does God, I want my faith to be stronger, more vibrant, fresher. I want to be alive in my faith. The question then is, okay, look at the list and say to yourself, how are we doing? Are we pursuing these things which God wants us to pursue as people of Him, that we might follow Him fully in our lives? And if He challenges you somewhere, then we need to say, okay, how do I need to work on it? Because you probably to work on them all at once, it's a bit too heavy. Maybe one at a time. God says, let's have a look at this one. And let's get you into my will and my purposes here. So that our relationship becomes stronger. So that you are more vibrant in your who you are as a faith, in a Christian, more alive. What's God's will for me? Yeah, He might have specific things for you to do in certain places, because we're all unique. We all have different roles. We all end up in different places. Some of us will be in Middleton tomorrow, and some of us will be in Shaw, and some of us will be... So God will have little roles for you in those places, because that's where you are, and He'll want to use your uniqueness, He'll want to use your character, He'll want to use the gifts that God has put in you, the opportunities that will be for you. But for every single one of us, wherever you are tomorrow, this is His list. And there's others. But let's start here and say, okay, I'm a Christian. How am I doing? Am I doing good works? Have I got bitterness and anger in me that I need to work through and ask for forgiveness, that God might help me forgive? Whatever it might be, it's not a good, not a bad place to start. Try and put it, take a picture. Get your camera out and look at it tomorrow and say, okay, God, which one? Where am I? Where do I need to work with you? With your help. Because I want to be your man. I want to be your lady. I want to glorify you in my life. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's sing. We're going to sing. We sang that, didn't we? For it's only in your will that I am free. That's what we've been talking about. Are we following the will of God for our lives? And I think the more we follow the will of God for our lives, the more we understand that He has plans and purposes for us that are for all of us, and it's just there in Scripture just to help us to engage. As we start to engage with them, then we become freer within our Christian lives. Doesn't mean life is all sorted. Doesn't mean you will get an easy life and all that. But it just means that we become freer in our faith and we have a confidence is built within our faith. The foundation of our faith becomes stronger. So we're going to take communion. Have I put the list back up? Okay. We're going to take communion. Communion is always a response. I always talk about it as a response. It's a time when we come forward and all are invited. The invitation is for all who want to. And we take the bread and we recognize the bread represents the body of Christ given for us on the cross. We take the cup, which is for us it's red juice, but it represents the blood of Christ shed for us on the cross. You know, and when we get that again, when we think to ourselves, wow, Jesus died for me. Jesus died, is the only one who died for me in my place. What could we do in response but to try and follow him as he calls us to? And that is part of what he's calling us to. Daily to do some of these things. Not because he's trying to, I don't know, dictate to us and squat. Because it's about freeing us as we've just sung. Understanding his will frees us. When we do these things, it frees us spiritually. And physically at times. So we need to think to ourselves, how serious am I about not just coming to church, but following Jesus? How serious am I? Well, if you are serious, where are you helping the poor and needy this week? Where's the opportunities going to be for you to act justly and love mercy? Where are you going to be in fellowship this week? Or is it going to be, well, I'm a few weeks' time, I might pop in again. Where are you going to rejoice and pray and give thanks? This is our will for our lives as the church. Not always easy. Powered by the Spirit that we might be free in him. So as we come forward, let's respond. Let's say to God again, yeah, this is what I want to be. I recognize that you died for me on the cross. Lord, may response be to go all for Jesus. Not in part. Not take, well, I can do number two. I'm not so sure about forgiving people. Let's go all in. Let's see how that brings, what that brings. Let's not pick and choose and think, I'm not sure I want to share the good news of Jesus with anybody. But I'll tell you what, I'll bring some coffee next week. It's got to be about all in. Come on. Jesus is the only one who died for us on the cross. So we respond to, as we come forward. And the invitation's there, like I say, you can come forward. You could stand here and take the bread and then the drink and just be quiet here for a minute. You can share it with somebody that you care about. You can take the elements and go back to your seat and just have it while you are. Don't worry about your cups. Put them under your chair. We'll find them sometime during the week. But just have a bit of time with God. Let the response to his word today, through what we've heard and sung and been in his presence with, you respond. It's about, I've got to respond personally. I can't respond for you lot. You can't respond for me. I've got to respond to myself because there's stuff here that I need to think about. Let's bow our heads. Lord God, as we come to this time of communion, the opportunity just to move forward from our seats, to take this bread and this juice, Lord, it's far more than that. It's about acknowledging again that you are the only one who died for us. You gave your life upon the cross so that we can know God's forgiveness, so that we can have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, so that we can be set free, so that we can have an eternal hope that one day we'll spend eternity with you. So we come forward. Come forward. Not just to say thank you, but to commit ourselves again to following you. Following your will and your plans for our lives. Individually, but collectively of God's people. Speaking to our hearts, we pray. Come by your Holy Spirit, change and transform us. Lord, for some of us, we need to say sorry as we come forward today. Because we realize we have fallen very short. We have not even begin to think about these things. We've actually gone a different way. Lord, we are sorry. Would you forgive us? Would you turn us around that we might walk forward with you today? In Jesus' name. Amen. So there'll be some music as we communion is available. And again, just come forward as you want to and share communion. Let's come.